So the unjust judge comes so very close to Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. There's something that Jesus wants us to know by putting this parable at this place in his ministry. Maybe our Old Testament passage can give us a little insight into that. And we have before us today in Genesis 32, this great story. Jacob returning to the land that was promised to Abraham and Isaac. And now again, Jacob, as he's been instructed by God to come here. And so, just to mention later, the ground so much as I want to go ahead and do that as my sermon. Because Jacob is just such an amazing character that I'm going to kind of just tell the story as the bulk of my sermon today. So what we know is that, just to a little bit set the scene, we have a situation, Jacob and his wives and his children had just left Laban, who lived in what is now Iraq, and we were told that as he crossed the river Euphrates, and he made this journey to the land that God had promised to Abraham and Isaac, his father and his grandfather. And as he was leaving, I'll tell you more about that as part of the sermon, but Jacob, everybody kind of loved Jacob, and they're really glad he's somebody else's kid. He's that kind of guy. So he has escaped, as he was escaping. They took things very valuable to Laban, not only the daughters, the grandchildren, and the sheep and the goats and etc. But they also took the hearth gods that belonged in Laban's house. So Laban finds out that they've made an escape. He chases them down with a bunch of soldiers. They met up. They kind of made a tentative peace, but Laban is still right there, still camped in the hills close by. Jacob's going, and you know, he's been a less than ideal brother. I'll talk about that in the sermon. But anyway, his brother is coming to meet him, who he has manipulated and deprived of the brother's place in society long ago. And not only is the brother coming, but the brother is coming with 400 armed men. And Jacob has a scary look. So he's taken and he's divided his family. He has Leah and her clan go in one direction, and he has Rachel and her bunch going another direction, and kind of hoping that if Esau comes and they'd only be able to kill one bunch of them, and at least part of Jacob's line might survive. And that's where he's at. He's on the other side of the river where he established his two family groups as they're about to set out on their journey. And he's kind of too bad a tire to go back across the river. And we have this encounter. So that same night, he got up and he took his two wives, his two maids, his 11 children, and he crossed the ford of the Jabbok. And he took them and he sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until daybreak. And when the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him with the hip socket. And Jacob's hip was put out of joint, and he wrestled with him. And then the man said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And so the man said to him, "What is your name?" And Jacob said, "Jacob." And the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." And then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But the man said, "Why would you ask my name?" And there, God bless you. And Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen the face of God, and yet my life is spared. And the sun rose up on him as he passed Penuel, limping because of his hip. And therefore, even to this day, the Israelites do not eat the thigh muscle that is on the hip socket, because God struck Jacob on the hip socket at the thigh muscle. Let us pray. So, Lord God, may the words of your mouth and may the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable to you. Amen. So, I've always rather thought of Jacob as being something of a scoundrel. And in going through my preparation this week, I might think that I'm kind of right, and I might think maybe not quite. Jacob actually means the heel. And when Jacob was born, he's a twin, he and Esau are twins. Esau means red, Esau came out, and apparently he's redheaded. And, he comes out, I think Jacob wanted to be born first, it just didn't work out for him. But he was holding on, literally holding on to Esau's heel. In the birthing. So having twins and then immediately with one long gone to the others is kind of it starts Jacob's life. And Jacob is Esau is a manly man. He's hairy and he's big and strong. He likes to go hunting. He likes to provide for the family. And we're told that Jacob's actually kind of a soft man. He finds his joy in hanging around the tents. Okay. So, you know those guys, they kind of, mama's boys, they hang around the tents, they work in the kitchen, so we got this going on. There's one day, as they come to be adults, that Esau goes out hunting, and he's not a very good hunter, at least this one day. And he comes back after hunting for a week or so, and he's just starving. And prior to that, Jacob made up a pot of lentils. And Esau just comes to his brother and says, "I'm starving, can I have food?" And Jacob says, "No, I'm not giving you any of my food. But I'm so hungry, I am going to perish if you don't give me food." He says, "Well, I'll tell you what. If you will give me your birthright, I will give you a bowl of porridge." And so Esau is hungry enough, goes ahead and makes a deal. And Jacob gets Esau's birthright. Many of us have siblings. How does that work for you when your sibling manipulates you like that? Anyway, that's like when he's still kind of a good guy. They're still able to live together and share a place and be together in mom and dad's house. And that. But then Jacob is close to their Isaac, he's close to dying. And he's weakened, he's in bed. He is blinded, he's just kind of aged out of his eyesight, he can't see anything. And he wants to give his blessing to his son, Esau. And so he calls Esau in and he says to Esau, "Hey Esau, I want to give you my blessing, but before I can give you my blessing, I need you to provide for me." So he tells Esau to go hunting and to make him a bowl of soup and to bring the soup, and when he has the soup, he will give the blessing. So Esau, good son, Esau is a child that we all want. He makes his parents proud. He does what he's asked, and he follows through, and he's remarkably generous in spirit, and et cetera, et cetera. But when that happened, Jacob got word that Esau was going to give, or that Isaac was going to give the blessing. And so, with the help of his mother, we don't want to leave the woman out of this, but with the help of his mother, Jacob decides to deceive his father. So, He and his mom make no coat. They make the sea. Because Esau is so hairy, he knows when he goes in that dad will get on to the fact that this is not Esau and it's not going to work. So they actually take the skin from the goat that they slaughtered and they tie it onto Jacob's arms so that he feels as hairy as his brother. And so anyway, he goes in, he gives him the soup. Isaac gives Jacob the blessing. No more than does that happen, and Esau comes in with the game. He's going to make the soup for his dad. He finds out what happens. Isaac says, "You know, I've already given my blessing. I can't take it back." By then, Jacob has decided that he's in trouble. So, you know what you do when you're in trouble is you stand up and admit it, and you ask for forgiveness, and not Jacob. What he does is he runs away. And he takes off, and he manages to encounter this strikingly beautiful woman that he decides he needs to marry. Her name is Rachel. And he talks to Rachel's dad, Laban, and he says to Laban, "You know, I want to marry your daughter. What do I have to do?" And Laban says, "Oh, that's easy. You just have to work for me for 7 years, and then you can marry her." And Jacob signs off on the deal, works 7 years, has a great wedding, gets so drunk at the wedding that he's not sure who he's sleeping with. And so Laban slips in the ugly daughter, Leah, and Jacob has relations with her, so he's married to her. And anyway, so then he says, goes to his father-in-law and says, "You see, it was kind of fun." They kind of felt like he had that comment. And so anyway, he works another 7 years as Jacob married Rachel. And then he says, "You know, God said, I want you to go back to your land that I promised your father and your grandfather." And he goes to Laban and says, "I need to do that. And I want you to bless me in the journey." And Laban says, "Nah, I'm going to do that." And so Jacob figured out a way to manipulate the birthing order in order that all of the offspring of the goats and the lambs end up forming his. And so literally he rips off his father-in-law and he decides to escape in the middle of the night. And he does this run, trying to get back to the promised land. You know, our patriarch, this is what we look up to. This guy's an absolute scoundrel, and he's going, and he's fleeing his father, and he's stolen the father's treasures, and he's stolen the father's daughters, and he's stolen the grandchildren, and he's making his getaway, kind of left in the dark of night, and Laban is following, and he's about ready to attack him. Like I said, they worked out this little deal. And then he gets news, he sends out some scouts, Esau has 400 armed men. Jacob kind of gets a real moment. And he actually starts making some plans to send one to go and says, "You know, we're probably going to get killed. But something of what I've done with my whole life should survive," and so he decides to divide out his family so that some of them might be able to survive to carry on the promise and his lineage. And it's at that time when he's about to cross over the river, when he's about to enter into the land that God promised to the ancestors. It is at that point that he has this encounter with God, where all through the night he wrestles with God. And I don't know, sisters and brothers, you'd have those nights in some. Most of us have. Where we spend the entire night wrestling with God. You know, there's a place where I want to be the person that God wants me to be. And there's another place where I feel like I owe an obligation to how I've perceived myself through all of these years. There's a giving and a taking, and I toss and I turn in my sleep, and I want to be things that I can't simultaneously be. I can't both be a person who's the ultimate trickster and can take advantage of other human beings and be the person that God would choose for me to be, at least not consistent with all of us. And so there's this wrestling. It goes on all night. And in the midst of the wrestling, Jacob is hurt. It cost him something. His hip was put out of joint. And for the rest of his life, he walks with a limp. And that limp is a good thing. You know, those of us who have wrestled with God, the scars that we take out of that wrestling are perhaps the greatest joys we have in our lives. Because we have encountered life in very real ways. And it has cost us. And we continue with that empty place in our heart. We continue with that sense of brokenness and a green gash. We continue with an understanding that maybe we're not all that at the top of it. We continue in our life somehow wounded and knowing that the wound has made us whole. Now, Jacob wrestles with God. God blesses him, changes his name to Israel, because he has striven with God and he has prevailed. You know, and that kind of, so what kind of God is this that can even be the mere mortal in a wrestling match? Well, life's more complicated than that. If God could simply defeat us and take away our will, that would not be God and we would not be human. There is a sense of give and take and learning alone. Now, I wish I could say that, when Jacob became Israel, he became this lovely person and he stopped being a scoundrel. And maybe, a scoundrel or a rascal. I love the stories of Jacob and Israel. But if you get out your Bible, and kind of go from where we're at, chapter 32, and just read another three or four chapters, you'll find out that, Israel, he continued to be a rascal. And I don't want to go into those stories, but they're really lovely. They're really fun. I love that this person who's so dominant in our understanding of who we need to be as human beings. I love that he's so complex, kind of like us. I love that his life is complex, kind of like ours. And I love that God meets him in the heart of his complexity and rescues him even from himself, kind of like us. Just for the next leg of the story, though, Jacob crosses the river. He meets Esau after he's given him all of these gifts and treasures. And Esau says, you know what? I don't want your stuff. God has also blessed me. I have plenty. I'm just glad to have my brother back. Totally unexpected. You know, when I first time I read that, it was like a shock. Because weren't me, I would want vengeance. But Esau's a better person. Esau was glad to have his brother back, just as God is glad to have the sinner back. And as the kind of time this in with the passage of judgment for us, God is generous of heart and generous of spirit, not like the unjust judge, who will give justice if we are ask often. God is wanting to give to us even before we ask. God knows what we need and presents that to us even before we ask for it. Yesterday we were putting the office back together. Melinda was here. Melinda said, sometimes she's really glad for unanswered prayer. You know, and I think about coming to God over and over again and asking for something that I think I want. And how very often I have wanted what I thought was my pleasure, and God has given to me instead God's justice. And I'm really glad for many of the prayers that I've got before God that were not answered as I wanted them to be, but were answered in such ways that have invited me more deeply into my faith, more deeply into my hope, more deeply into my trust for God, and my trust for my need to be involved in God's kingdom. Lord God, thank you for Rastus. Thank you for his great stories, in which we can so clearly see our own selves. Thank you for Jacob, Esau, for Laban and Rachel and Leah, for the children and the events. And thank you, Lord, that you encounter us, sometimes in the midst of the night, and you wrestle with us until we are able to see ourselves and you more clearly. For those steps along the way, which take us more deeply into your heart, we give you thanks. May we continue like a woman seeking justice, to return to you over and over again until you make us